Today, I will read from a sermon of Brother Branham, not only to fill out the time, but because I think that it is very important. We have, I almost dare to say it, we have received the teaching completely. What must come now is the power of God to manifest that we not only believed, but that we still believe, as the scripture says, and that God can confirm his word. It must come to it. There is no way around it. We can not only come on the scene with a testimony of God, we must experience the power of God in a company of his testimony. The word of God, which is the foundation of the sermon, the restoration of the bride tree, we find it in Joel, in chapter 2, from verse 25, a well-known word to all of us. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. So far, this precious and holy word of God. God has promised to restore, and because he promised it, he must and he will also do it. All the years, he wants to restore. And this is also my deep desire, that we don't miss opportunities or look back at the year end to missed opportunities, but we want to be able to look back on used opportunities, that we made use of opportunities, and we are open before the Lord, whatever he wants to have done. To this we are available. Many times I think we must again go on the radio to once more cast out the net and to remind the people on that what God promised. We are not ashamed of it. We have a balanced proclamation, a proclamation as it never existed on earth. Never. And for this, we are very grateful. Now, I would like, if I am hopping with the thoughts, then please pardon me. I can nothing for it. From this mentioned sermon, I read from page 3. When I overlook the crowd, I see people who were dying recently with cancer. They crawled in here. Others came on wheelchairs and on crutches. Today they are normal and well. A wonderful testimony. He overlooks the crowd and he sees people on whom God did miracles. Miracles in the soul, miracles in the spirit, miracles on the body. People who in themselves were a miracle because God did miracles on them. He did not only see people who were saved, he also saw people who were healed of terminal illnesses, if we believe in the restoration and are convinced that Jesus Christ is still the same today and wants to testify to be the same, then let us believe that all these things will happen again. We cannot do otherwise. We have to believe it as the scripture has said it. Our Lord gave the great commission that we should go into all the world to preach His gospel, and He gave the promise that the confirmation will be there and that the proclamation would be accompanied by this divine confirmation. He also said, I will be with you all the days until the end of the world. If we differ in the proclamation, then we must also differ in the effect which this proclamation brings with it. If that what God has given is supernatural and divine revelation, then may this what accompanies this divine revelation of the Word be likewise the manifestation of the power of God, which belongs to the Word. For the kingdom of God is not in words only, but in the power, yes, in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. I repeat these two or three sentences. When I look over the crowd, I see people who were dying recently with cancer. They crawled in here. Others came on wheelchairs and on crutches, and today they are normal and well. God confirmed the word. Not only stomach ache He has healed, or whatever may be inwardly. This can also be sometimes dangerous. But things took place as in the days of Jesus. Outstanding signs and wonders, healings which were visible, not only feelable for him who experienced it, but also all who were present, visible. That's how it was in the days of the Lord. That's how it was in the days of the apostles. We read in the book of Acts, by the hands of the apostles, great signs and wonders happened among the people. Not we do it. We just come to it now. We must make ourselves available to God by faith. We must count with it and being convinced that it is a firm part of the divine restoration in these days. If we count with it, God will give it, for then we believe in it and are convinced that it belongs to it. He continues here and says, everywhere, all over the world, these things took place, not by me, but by Him, our Lord, who is risen from the dead. He is alive forevermore. Not by me, says Brother Branham, but by Him, by our Lord, who is risen from the dead and who lives forevermore. And this must be this way. We know precisely that we can do nothing, but God can do all things. Our Lord said, to me is given all power in heaven and on earth. We need it, and God will give it, because He promised it. He continues here, may our Lord Jesus ever be praised and blessed, is my sincere prayer. please pray for me, all of you. I depend on that. Here at home, it's not too bad. But when you get there where you really hit the battlefront, it looks different. As Paul, also he asked his brothers and sisters to remember him in prayer. We have to join in the presence of God. We must believe with one accord, praying with one accord, having the same goal before us, namely that God's word is confirmed and that the name of the Lord is glorified. A difference must be manifested as it was then manifested while bringing the message in the ministry of Brother Branham in comparison to all the others in a most powerful measure. So may God give grace that in accompany of the proclamation of the message the same things could take place. And it will depend on our faith and not on God. From God's side, all things were made available to us. I read on. I appreciate it that you all have come. After the service, we will pray for the sick, and immediately after this, we have a water baptism. I think God coming on the scene is the proof of what we are talking about, His resurrection. If God comes on the scene and confirms the word which we preach, then we have the proof that He, as the risen one, is not only in heaven, but that He is in our midst. This is important, that He is in heaven, we all know. But He also promised to be present where two or three are gathered in His name. For what present? To speak? That belongs to it. To bless? This belongs to it. But also to save, to heal, to confirm His word as being true. Let us have faith and confidence to our God. The question is He really alive? Is it just a fiction story? Or is it the truth? If He is alive, His promise comes to fulfillment. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. To us, the question was not given whether He lives. We believe that He lives. We believe that He is risen. No one could tell us otherwise. This is not the question. Our question is whether He, as the risen one, can manifest Himself through us and amongst us, whether He can confirm His word as He promised it. It continues here, if He comes in amongst us here and proves that He is here, then there is no more guess about it. With whom? Firstly, there must be people who already believe God, who move His arm by faith, and so that His power can then be manifested. And if this happens, then there are also people who were in doubt earlier, but who then can no more doubt, because God accommodated them and let them see visibly what they could see with their own eyes, that He is present. Here Brother Branham continues and says, all religions in the world, the They have their so-called holy days, but their founders died, and that was all of it. But Jesus Christ, the founder of his church, he died, yes, but he rose again. We have to become aware of that from scratch, that he rose and that he is alive and that he doesn't want to be idle, but that he wants to manifest himself on us and on others. On page 7, it says, "This will be my last message to this part of the church for some time. And we are expecting a healing service this morning. And I want this message, if God will bless it, to sink deep into our hearts, so we'll get the meaning of what it means. We are here to express, to say the things that we believe and prove it by the scripture. We set forth what the scripture says, and then God confirms it to be true. By this, it becomes reality." What a wonderful statement. Here, Brother Branham says, "For the time being, this will be my last message to this church." But he announces a healing service. Can we dare to announce a healing service? Can we dare at once to take God at his word? I'm asking you, what did Jesus do when he was on earth? Of which kind were his services? Were it just speeches? No, it were mostly healing services, right or not? Everybody who has read the Gospels knows it. The multitudes came not only to be healed, but to witness how others were healed. And then it is, as Brother Branham says it in another place, like a bait to not show the hook to the fish, so that the people gather and see all of it and experience, and then comes the word. Then comes the word. May God give it in this way again by his grace. The sequence we want to leave up to him, but we don't want to leave anything out. The proclamation and what goes with it shall run parallel with one another. People shall be free again. I think here on our sister from Holland. She recently phoned me whether I can pray for her again. I said no, only when divine authority is there. We must bring glory to the name of the Lord by believing God and taking him by his word, and that we count with it that he also confirms his word. As we just heard it and read it, we set forth what the scripture says, and then comes the confirmation. God confirms it as the truth, and by it, it becomes reality. We know that different people participated in the meetings of the Lord, and also in the days of the apostles, and also in our days, in the meetings of Brother Branham. How many did not believe the message in their heart, but they came to see what God will do? The Word may one day judge them, but God, in his sovereignty, did not owe any answer. Just the contrary, it were words, and it were the signs following and the wonders which accompanied the proclamation of the word. He says here the following. If somebody tells you, for example, this is a sunflower seed, plant it and see what it is. Then it comes up a sunflower. That settles it and proves it. Something must be sown, even it's the faith in the promises of God. If this faith is sown, then the thing that the word has said, which we believe, it must come up. It must come forth. Do we understand this? If somebody sows here sunflower seeds, then no wheat will come, also no barley. What we sow has to come forth. We have a precious divine seed of the word. We want to sow it by faith. But we also want that it's received in the same faith, that by the preaching of the word, that a living faith comes up in our hearts, that we could have such a faith atmosphere that even the weakest no longer limps or lags behind, but that he can believe with all his heart and take God at his word. If it happens, that's how it says here, then you have the proof. But if nothing comes up, what then? Where is then the confirmation? Where is the proof? Then we have sown, we also buried it, and the matter is buried, and nothing comes out. It cannot go on like this. We want to believe God with all our hearts and have confidence in Him, that He is up to something with us. And not only because we want it, He promised it, and therein shall today and forever our faith be anchored. God's promises remain, as a German song goes. They don't stagger. Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promised in his word. I read on. Now pray for me, and just be loyal to the church now. And you people that's visiting, we invite you to come back. I'm going to the meetings without any special instruction, but I just can't lay around here. The world is dying. Paul had a Macedonian call. If God gives me such a call, I'm ready to go. I do my best, sowing seeds everywhere. I know that not all the seeds fall on good ground, but some will come up. This we know. The main thing is the seed is sown. With what kind of humility this prophet and man of God dealt with. He says, I have no special instruction, but I cannot sit around here. I go and travel around. The world is dying. And then he lines it out here with Paul and says, Paul had a Macedonian call. From this, I want to learn my personal lesson. How often I say to the Lord, I need an instruction. And here, the greatest prophet of all times says, I go to have meetings without any special instruction. If then a special instruction comes, one can still carry it out. But in the meantime, the general commission is valid, which the Lord gave to them whom he sends. And I just have to confirm it like this. No matter where one goes, the blessing remains. Many blessings remain. Whether one tells to the people pious sayings and says, God has sent me, This doesn't help them at all if one would not leave a blessing behind. If one comes without pious sayings but leaves blessing behind, then this divine blessing is the proof that we went and spoke in the name of the Lord. And that is much more valuable than that what sometimes so loudly is being said, not what we say of ourselves, but what God leaves behind. That what remains, this is what counts, and not that what we claim. He says here, I know that not all the seeds fall on good ground, but some will come up. This we know. The main thing is, the seed is sown. For me, this passage strengthens me in the faith, an encouragement to go forward with the Lord, to put the trust in Him. And I brought it as a wish from my heart before the Lord, that this may not be the year of the missed opportunities. By the grace of God, something must happen. But I notice that God can only be with us when we go. If we remain sitting, we mope and pull everyone into this moping. But if we go, then we have to bring a wonderful message, and then God will bless it on us and on all who hear it. It continues here. From these scriptures, I call the subject restoration. I took the Webster's dictionary to find out the right definition for restore. To restore means to return to the former owner or to bring back to the former estate of condition. And we can enforce a claim to be restored. We of course have the word restoration in our sermons, which were translated. We read them over and again. We heard it over and again. Here we are told restoration means to give it back to the original owner what he possessed earlier, what belonged to him earlier. And then we must come to the point. To the church belonged everything what God gave her at the beginning on the day of Pentecost by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and what He purchased earlier by a high price on the cross of Calvary. But since Pentecost, that what happened on Calvary, it was confirmed from heaven. And so, people have been added and have heard the word and experienced the impact of the blessings. To give it back to the original owner or to place it back into its original condition. I would say both. The or we can leave out. Back into the original condition, namely giving it back to the original owner. And this is the church, that what is rightfully hers since the beginning. Here it says, the rightful claim of the restoration can be enforced, not with one's own power, but I believe that we have more pull. God, and this we not only say we believe it, God has won in Christ. And we place ourselves on the victory side and by it on the victory ground of Calvary. He continues here, if there is such a claim, then the restoration can be enforced. May God help me in my weakness to set forth these things rightly. If there is a claim, that's how it says here, then the restoration can be enforced. Is there a claim? 100%. Is it rightfully? 100%. And why rightfully? Because God promised it. And God's promises, that's how we heard it from the mouth of Brother Branham, from the story of Abraham, over and again. What God promised is for him who believes it already as it is he already. As if it's his. As if he received it already. And so, we may speak it out by faith. There is a rightful claim to the divine restoration in the church, namely of all that what she had originally, and what the cankerworm and these four insects have eaten up. Here God says, I will restore to you the years. And if God has said it, then he will also do it. I'll read it once again. If there is such a claim, question, once again, is there a claim? Amen. That's not loud enough. Children, where do we want to appear before God? This must finally spark in our hearts. A fire of God must be kindled. There is no other way. We must be in the matter with all that is within us. Not just spectators, but partakers of that. What God promised, there is no other way. If we shall still drag one another along, how shall we pull the unbelievers out of the fire or those who doubt? So, then he goes on here, may God help me in my weakness to set this forth rightly. God has helped him. Now may God help me and you. May God help us all. That we, the things which he set forth, understand it divinely and then experience it by the grace of God. For God has helped him in his weakness. Why should God not help us in our weakness? Him he helped to set it forth. Us he helps to believe the set forth things, to fix our anchor firmly, and if need be, to also use violence, so that it happens one day. All right, the original owner is the church of the living God to which we belong. So, the claim is rightfully. And it says here, if need be, and I think we need it. He says, if necessary, this rightfully claim can be enforced. I think it's necessary. You also? I think it is necessary that this rightful claim is enforced. There is a word, Luke 16:16. In which it is written that the law and the prophets were until John, and from that time on the kingdom of God is preached, and he who is violent presses into it. I don't mean now violence with the fists knocking on the table, but I think from the bottom of the heart to believe, and thus by faith honoring God to that what he promised as already true, to look at it as if one has received it already. And if it has not yet been manifested, then we must say, Lord, help us. It has become necessary that we enforce this rightful claim. Also this supported in the faith on the many promises of the Word of God. Here Brother Branham continues, enforce. Oh, what a term. I wished I would have 2 days to speak on that. Enforce. We have the privilege to enforce upon Satan the claims that God give us. What a privilege. There are many privileges. Tonight we hear of a new privilege. I many times heard of privileges, but here I hear of a very new privilege. It is our privilege, who we have heard the set forth things, and we got it revealed by the Spirit of God, and by it a rightful hope was awakened in us that it's going to be fulfilled. We are ordained for it, to enforce that thing. It may sound a bit strange, but do you think that we can go on like until now? No, most certainly not. We must face God and His Word. And if need be, and the need is here, and the privilege, as we read here, we have the privilege to enforce that Satan releases what God has given us. Everything, what the enemy has stolen, what he twisted, what he spoiled, after all, nothing remained. Eaten up here, eaten up there. What is still left of everything? Almost nothing. But God sent a message of restoration, and by this word of God, only by the word of God, we have the desire for that what was preached unto us. Otherwise, we would be satisfied with all the charismatic meetings. We would kick up one's heels with music and so forth, and everything would be all right. But this doesn't work with us. This works with all the others, but not with us. God has ordained us for something else, namely to that, to in these days hear the word of prophecy and to believe it. And by this God awakened in me a living hope. I didn't have it before. I was satisfied. But now I'm no more satisfied, because a deep longing was laid into us to see these words of God fulfilled. I read it again. Enforce. Oh, what a term. I wished I would have 2 days to speak on that. Enforce. We have the privilege to enforce upon Satan the claims that God give us. It's our privilege. At the moment, I don't know how it shall be done, and I don't want to worry about it. I have only one desire, Lord. Let me belong to them who believe your word with all their heart and who count with it that it will be fulfilled. The recipe, how it shall be done, I don't have it here. It says enforce. How shall I do it? I don't know. But if I know that God promised it, then we must get to the point in all seriousness. And then the Lord will give us step by step grace, so that He can lead us through His Holy Spirit, that the things which please Him also take place. Watch now what comes now. God has a law. This law is His Word. And God in His Word gave to His church certain rights. Therefore, we have a right to force these claims upon Satan and say, give it back. And he has to do it, because we can take God's agent, the Holy Spirit. We go right down on our knees and say, it's thus saith the Lord. He's got to give it up because the Holy Spirit's there to make him do it. Amen. This is the answer. Not you and not I. Now God begins to work. We received the word which was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. All these divine promises we bear now in us. The same Holy Spirit who revealed to Brother Branham the mysteries of the Word was the same power of the Holy Spirit which was manifested by the gifts of the Spirit and by the confirmation of the Word of God. The same Holy Spirit who has revealed the Word unto us will be the same Holy Spirit who will force the enemy to give back what he has taken. Not you with your strength, but as it was said here, because the Holy Spirit makes him to do it. Now there would be the question, when can it take place? Namely then, when we understand that we were robbed and cheated by the enemy, that he made everything empty, and there are many things which could be listed in the sin register. But a thief is not a good person. Somebody who steals has not a good character, most certainly not. The devil is a liar, a murderer, and a thief. He has all bad characters that can exist. He has stolen, has taken away, has robbed. God says, I will restore to you the years. Here we are told how it can happen. It is just a matter of time. I cannot do otherwise. I must believe, as it was left to us in the Word and from the Word in the sermons. Did God make empty words when he made himself the effort to bring us the message of restoration? Most certainly not. God's word is never empty, and it also does not return void. It's a full word, and with full fruit it will return to him, with all them who received it and who believed it. We go right down on our knees and say, it is thus saith the Lord. He's got to give it up because the Holy Spirit is here to make him do it. I can only say, Almighty God, let it happen soon. Force the enemy divinely and majestically, as written, that all the enemies must become his footstool. Not your or mine footstool, his footstool. The footstool of him who has overcome, who bruised the head of the serpent, who has given us eternal life by grace, and who in these days, in the pillar of cloud, appeared to speak with his servant and prophet. Today it's not about things left and right as special doctrines. Today it's about the core of the divine message. Otherwise the devil laughs at us. First he robs us, and then he even laughs at us because we just make wind and don't have the things. No, not special doctrines left and right. The core of the divine message, the restoration, the calling out, the preparation, the completion, all that are God's purposes. Listen now. The souls of the people who are determined for God, he has confiscated. The enemy has also enticed the souls which were ordained for God. He misled them, but there must be a claim to give them back, that all who are God's possession are brought back to Him. The price for it was already paid, and we have heard it. We can enforce power, but this power is not in our hand. Here we have to make ourselves available to God, so that the Holy Spirit can force the enemy to release, to let loose, so that everything what originally belonged to us can come back again. Enforce, divinely enforce. And we also understood this because the Holy Spirit makes him to do it. All the souls which belong to God, to release them. For the Spirit convicts, the Spirit leads into all truth, the Spirit reveals, the Spirit works all in all, namely in them who believe the Word of God. Can we also believe this, that the Lord has a purpose with us, not only 20 years of teaching and nothing behind it? No, this is impossible. This doesn't exist. That is totally impossible. As true as God called Brother Branham and sent him and told him, as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. I just read it today somewhere. The good formulation. He said, so your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. It must be this way. This is a prophetic age in which we live. Neither religious nor our standards count. Only what God has said in His Word counts. And what does God say in His Word? I will restore to you all the years. Everything was eaten up. Nothing remained. I will restore to you the years. Then ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Although it is still a promise, it's already said in the past tense, has dealt. But there are people, and there were always people, who could say it by faith, who could speak it out, because what God promised, they believed it to be true. I read again and come also to the close. If Satan has afflicted you with sickness, then you have the right before God to enforce the law of God. Namely, by His stripes we were healed. This God has said in His Word. And here we are told, by the law of God, which is the Word of God, and by it gives us the rightful hold. Without law, there's no jurisdiction possible. The law must be there. Here is the law of God. Here is divine jurisdiction. Here is clarity and truth. Satan is defeated. Satan is a liar. We are redeemed. But here it says, if Satan has struck you with sickness, then you have the right before God to enforce the law of God. Earthly speaking, people enforce some things, whether rightfully or whatever. But here we are dealing now with a divine realm. How often we have heard it from the mouth of Brother Branham. All sin, all sickness, all of the curse, everything is of the devil. Sickness cannot come from God. God cannot be once so kind and strike the people with sickness and the other time be so kind to heal them again so nicely. This does not exist. No, God is not like this. From God, nothing evil can come. The evil one, him we rumbled. What does the Holy Scripture say? All good and perfect gifts come from God, from the Father of light. If it is being said here, if Satan has struck you with sickness, then you have the right before God to enforce the law of God. What shall we do then? Should we be helpless in the face of something? Shall we continue to just watch that the enemy laughs at us? Or shall we make ourselves available to God and place ourselves under the leading of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit through us could work and speak, and by this enforcing the matter of God for us, so that we come to our right, and the basis, the legal basis on which we stand is, by His stripes we were healed. This is the basis on which we stand, and it is also written that He has taken our sins and our sicknesses upon Himself. It is written, it happened for us. Let us receive it by perfect faith, and let us say, Lord, we cannot do it by ourselves, but the same Spirit of God who convicted us of the sin that we don't believe, who has led us to the conversion, to repentance, the same Spirit of God who worked everything until now, it is Him who gave us the revelation of that what was revealed to Brother Branham. The same Spirit, whether on prophets or apostles or upon the people of God, there is only one Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit is the power of God, and the power of God will force Satan to release what he illegally has taken. You will know, he can give and take away. He can take away health and give sickness. He has a strange understanding of things. But we want to face God and say, Lord, here we are. Take us by your grace. Do we expect it? Do we all expect it? Do we believe that it will come? Can we take God at His word? One day it must be so far, and may today be the start, that God places us on higher ground, that we don't look anymore on the symptoms. If I would look on them, it shall not be now an undermining of that what we just said by faith. But when you are so soaked with sweat as I was on Thursday, at around 12 degrees below zero, and when I had to take off my hat when preaching at the grave, and I tell you, it really crackled in my head, and this may be even until today. But we trust God. I of course could not pray there and preach before the crowd with my hat on. That was impossible. I exposed myself to the danger, but I did it by faith. And God helps. We want to take God at His word. No sickness comes from God. No, Jesus bore our sickness. He took it upon Himself. And this we have to believe with all our hearts. And if we believe it, the Holy Spirit will come upon us as the power of God. And He will enforce, He will achieve what is legally ours. Let us take God once at His word and say, Lord, we are ready. Help us now. Make us able that we make ourselves available to you so that you can confirm your word on us, in us, and through us by your grace. Praise be to His name. He will do it. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Maybe we sing together, "Just As I Am." Only believe. Almighty God, we not only hold your word in our hands, we carry it in our hearts. Faithful God, who you have given promises from ancient times and fulfilled them in the course of time. Faithful Lord, we know you only as the true one. We ask you, may you give us now grace and help us to take our stand in the faith, to gather in your holy presence and to count with it that you start to confirm your word. O faithful Lord, do something extraordinary, something supernatural, so that we are pulled out of our doubts, of our unbelief, to trust you completely and fully. You promised, "I will restore." We thank you that you do it. You have foresent the message to let now follow the restoration. Dear Lord, as you accompanied the proclamation with signs and wonders, so may you now, amongst those who came to the faith and who received it, may you confirm that it's about the same word, about the same promises, which are yes and amen, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Faithful God, we ask you also, give grace that we are not in the way of ourselves and others. O God, help me, help us all. Give us the leading of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to not ask anymore, "What will the people say?" Just to ask, "Lord, here I am. What do you have to say to me?" Receive us all under the leading of your Holy Spirit. Wash us through your precious and holy blood. Purify us through your precious and holy word. Lead and equip us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as you forced at the beginning the powers of the enemy under your feet, so may you also do it now at the end. Force them under your feet. O Lord, we thank you for it. For thus it is written, that you must rule until the last enemy is put under your feet. and defeated, and this is death. Lord, take away the spiritual death, the spiritual drought, and give a refreshing, a new working of your Holy Spirit. My God, take away all spiritual sleep and all earthly slackness from us. Make us fiery in the Spirit, ready to serve you. O faithful Lord, what a wonderful word we received. All the ends of the earth shall hear the message of God. Hallelujah. We are not ashamed of it. My God, we believe as the scripture said, may the rivers of living water flow. Lord, I commit unto you your blood-bought multitude. Faithful God, reign and rule among your people. Manifest yourself as the same. Start today. O God, together we thank you that your word is alive, that your word is the power of God. O Lord, we thank you deeply also for the observation of tonight. To you, the living God, be all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.